All right, welcome to episode 19 of Everyday Ecclesiology. I'm Daniel Greenhall.
And I'm his wife, Desiree Greenhall. And our goal in this podcast is to explore what it looks like for laymen within the local church to be faithful members of one another.
That's right. And we have four segments. We just did the first one, who we are. Then we'll do what we're doing. We'll look at what we're learning, or in this case, what we have learned. And last, we'll check in with what we've been reading. So if you followed the podcast for a while, you're familiar with those segments. If not, well, now you know.
Yeah.
All right. So what are we doing, Desiree? What's new with you?
Packing up boxes.
Yeah. Getting ready to move. Looking forward to that.
Lord willing, next week.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep.
I'm excited. So we could only have potentially one more podcast in this room.
Yeah.
It'd be so sad. Or since we'll have it for like 2 months, we could just leave the podcast set up here and have to drive here every time to record.
Yeah.
Maybe not. We'll set it up in the basement. So I'm looking forward to outfitting a new space. I have a couple of ideas, all of which cost money, but I have some low budget ideas as well for how we can sound treat a room. I even today just kind of flipped our table a little bit so that the couch and curtains, thank you, behind us can absorb a little bit of the sound and maybe not get as much echo if you don't notice it. Well, okay, I like nerding out on it, so it's a little bit of fun. But I'm excited to move. That'll be nice if everything goes well. And to those of you who have already pledged to help us watch Sophia or move some boxes, appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Sophia, I taught her something new today.
Yeah, you taught her how to climb the stairs.
Took all of 3 steps and then she was doing it.
Yeah, she was definitely ready. We just don't have any stairs within our apartment. There are some in the building, so we went out into the hallway.
Yep.
And just we're like, hey, look, stairs. Let's practice climbing them.
Yep. I'm hoping we can teach her how to climb down safely as well so that in the new house you can be okay with taking those. But we'll probably have to get a baby gate.
Yeah, for starters at least.
We should add another segment.
What?
What we're drinking.
Oh.
Because we always have a drink.
Yep. Today is chai tea.
Yep.
So.
Maybe that can be a sub-segment.
Typically it's hot chocolate.
Yeah. Sometimes that peanut butter hot chocolate that you made, that was so thick.
That was real hot chocolate.
That was like a meal in a cup.
That was not hot cocoa.
Yeah.
That was hot chocolate.
Yeah. There was so much chocolate. It was a lot.
It was, I took one sip and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I've had enough.
Well, we'd also had a whole mug before of different stuff.
That's true.
Which wasn't near as filling. But then when you put peanut butter in with real chopped chocolate melted.
Yep.
And then thin it out, quote unquote, with heavy cream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be thick stuff.
Yep.
So that's what we're drinking.
Well, not this time. We're drinking chai tea.
Yeah, chai tea. Did you put any French vanilla in there?
I did.
Okay. I think it needs a little bit more, but it's probably good for me to not have any more. Also, we got a bunch of snow today.
Yeah.
And last night into today. Yeah, because it was snowing before we went to bed.
Mm-hmm. And people have had to shovel out their cars from drifts.
Yep.
And
we got to give somebody a ride to work today. I was glad that we could help somebody out. But she got there safely and everything was good.
Because Daniel loves driving in the snow and he likes that he has nicer tires to be able to handle that.
Yep. I don't drive like a jacked up 4x4, but I do drive an all-wheel drive SUV, which is enough to get through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more than all the other vehicles that were on the side of the road. So, but it was fun to go out and see the snow, play in the snow, have sunglasses for when it snows too, because otherwise you get blinded.
Super bright.
And I'm also trying intermittent fasting. That's what it's called, right?
I think so.
That's what I put down, where I have 16 hours off eating and then 8 hours on eating. Because I think that'll help me with discipline about eating, because the main time when I like eat a lot is when it's like nighttime and I'm in a snacky mood. And then I eat like a sandwich of peanut butter and jelly. And then I have like
a sandwich of meat and cheese.
Meat and cheese. And then I have
a bowl of cereal.
Yep. And then I have the leftovers from supper. And then I have another piece of toast with Nutella on it.
And then the brownies that I want to eat.
Yep. So I think this will help quite a bit with encouraging discipline, because obviously I could just break it and eat it and be like, I'm gonna splurge this once, but I haven't yet. Even when I've been able to, I've been just sticking to 12 to 8 is when I eat, and it's been working pretty well so far. At least for, oh, okay, it's after 8, time to drink the water, and then I end up drinking more water.
Yeah,
I like it so far, but I'm also only a week. Well,
barely
a week.
Yeah, I am not doing that.
Yeah, that's okay.
But
doesn't mean it's for everybody.
It does. You not snacking in the evenings helps me not snack in the evenings, too.
Yeah, there's a scratch on our table.
There's been a scratch on
the
table.
Oh, yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
Awkward. Okay.
Next.
So, what are we learning today?
Okay, you should not make me answer because I literally just found out 5 minutes ago.
No, I told you earlier.
Yeah, that was earlier.
Oh, that was 5 minutes ago. Okay, so today, I wanted to chat a little bit, now that we're done with baptism and Lord's Supper for now. I have an idea of a small series we could do coming up, but I have to run it by the author of the material that I want to use. And we're still working on getting some guests. It's still quarantine season, as long as hopefully that's a season. so we do have a couple of issues with, not me personally I have issues with, but we have run into some issues with coordinating, getting guests, and a place where we can record. I have some options for remote recording, but I'd like to avoid that if possible, just because there's a little bit of audio quality sacrificed when you have to do something over like Skype. Like, you know, when you Skype people, it's usually not great audio quality. There are workarounds. I'm working on it. Anyway, for today, I wanted to chat about something that Desiree and I have learned about in the past. Worded that carefully, because it's not what we have learned, because yes, the things that we're sharing are things that we've learned, but not things that, like, we've mastered the learning of.
Right.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, hey, we know all
we're
about
the pros.
This. Correct. That's not typically how I posture myself, I hope. But it's something that we've taken time in our past to learn about, and that is, I wanted to chat a little bit about our wedding. Now, before you're like, I don't care about weddings, I don't want to go to people's weddings, they're dumb, and turn it off. Well, okay, but if you care about the local church, this will be an episode that's more in tune, more in line with something you want to listen to than maybe, oh, what was the color of her dress? Well, it was white. It was a wedding. But what style did she have? What did the guys wear? What were the colors you guys used? How did you decorate the auditorium? I'm not saying that stuff is unimportant. It's not unimportant. That's not the focus of what we're talking about today. When I say we're going to chat about our wedding, I don't also just want to talk about it because we love talking about the best day of our lives, because it really wasn't. We didn't, like, peak on the day we got married and then everything's downhill from here. No.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed days way more than our wedding with Desiree. That wasn't, like, the best day. Was it great? Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit. Was it helpful? It was also helpful. But that wasn't the best day of our lives.
Yeah.
If anything, even the birth of Sophia was greater than, was more enjoyable to me than our wedding. But even
to you.
Well, yeah. You enjoyed seeing her, too.
I enjoyed seeing her. I enjoyed stuff being before done that being pregnant. After that.
You liked being done being pregnant, though.
That was nice.
Yeah. Made birth a lot easier.
It's like the best weight loss program ever.
Yeah, that's true. Where was I going with that? Oh, and maybe even we shouldn't rate best by how much I enjoyed it, but
yeah,
that's a topic for another time. So, why are we talking about our wedding? Like, what? Maybe I should just answer my own question.
I feel like you pointed, but your finger covered about three lines on our notes.
That's okay. One of the reasons I want to cover it is because I'm grateful for those that encouraged Desiree and I to think carefully about what a wedding is, how it should be viewed, and how Desiree and I could help others view it that way by the way that our wedding was carried out.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Even within our pre-premarital counseling.
Yeah.
Some of you guys know what that is. And in our premarital counseling as well, and even in other conversations with people within our local church. So what are some things, Desiree, do you remember that, like, influenced our thinking about weddings? I mean, first of all, one I didn't list was, every wedding we've ever gone to has in some way shaped our thinking about a wedding.
Right.
It's pretty hard to have it not. Even if you can't consciously figure out how this wedding shapes my thinking about a wedding, if you think about, oh, what's a wedding? Well, if that's a wedding that popped into your mind.
Right.
So in some way that influences your thinking. To what extent? Well, that's another issue. But Sorry, go ahead.
Also our pastor and his wife.
Yeah.
The ones that gave us our pre-premarital counseling and our premarital counseling.
Yep. They did quite a bit by the way that they, not just the way that they counseled us to think about our wedding, but the way that they lived with one another, even encouraged us to think about how our wedding should be shaped.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Some good friends in our local church who had given more careful consideration to biblical spiritual importance and the significance of marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, we had some good friends in the church that were also thinking about dating, which is closely tied to engagement and marriage, especially in their line of thinking, which is a very biblical line of thinking, but that's for another time.
Mm-hmm.
But those friends influenced, not heavily, but significantly, how we shaped our thinking about marriage, what we saw as important in marriage, why we saw marriage as important, those type of things. Even there were some situations within our own lives, not like me getting married, but within people that we know, within people that we come into contact with, within people that we even see on Facebook, that we see things in weddings that we either liked or didn't like, or mm-hmm. we saw sometimes marriage was elevated too much.
Well, not even just using the term liked and disliked, uh-huh. but something about them caused us to think, wait, is that actually appropriate in a wedding?
Yeah. Why is that included in a wedding setting?
Right.
That was funny. but there were some, that elevated marriage too much in the way that they spoke, in the way that marriage was presented. It was presented as almost like the epitome of life on earth.
Elevated the wedding or?
Marriage itself.
Marriage itself. Too much. Okay.
And you might wonder how that can be, but we'll get there. I'll even touch on that a little bit. Some didn't elevate marriage enough. I think that's something we see quite a bit. That's easy to see people that don't elevate marriage enough, right?
You mean like by way of divorce and stuff?
Yeah, or by way of people in our world that think marriage, why bother getting married? Just live together.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Okay. So it's easy to see areas in people's lives where, you probably don't understand the importance of marriage. You don't elevate marriage enough. But still others elevated marriage to, quote unquote, the right amount, but did it for the wrong reasons. Because you can end up with a proper hierarchy of where your marriage should go, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're on your priority list, you could end up with, well, it's this, this, and then marriage. Even Christians can end up with marriage in the right spot in the priority list, but for the wrong reason.
I think I just don't really like the term priority list when it comes to Christian life
and
things.
I get that. But that was something that we saw, where people would elevate it and end up with it at the right spot. But you're like, I don't know if I agree with how you got there.
Yeah.
I don't think that's in line with scripture. So what are some more tangible things that this shapes my understanding in this way? Because those are some, tangible things. It's the person. It's a pastor and his wife. It's good friends. It's situations. But what are some specific things that I want to present that shaped our view? And how did it actually shape it?
Because
Because these, I didn't say, well, this caused us to do this. I didn't get concrete with what it did.
Yeah.
So here are the last two things here that end up shaping our thinking. First, I want to point to Ephesians 5, 31 and 32. Now, I don't know if this is, I mean, the common marriage text is the one that's read at weddings. What is it?
1 Corinthians 13,
mm-hmm.
the love chapter.
Yep, which is in the midst of a chat about spiritual gifts, which is funny, but doesn't mean it's insignificant. But one of the passages that stuck out to me through, some of these resources I already mentioned, was Ephesians 5, verses 31 and 32, and I'll go ahead and read it. I will give some of the context. I can't get away from it. Paul is chatting with the Ephesian church. Hopefully that much is obvious. He's talking about proper relationships with one another. My subheading says consistency in the Christian life, and then wives and husbands. Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 is broadly a text on husbands and wives and how they should relate to one another and why. But verses 31 and 32 are what I'm going to focus on. When Paul quotes in verse 31 the Old Testament, he says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I'm talking about Christ and the church." So what's Paul doing here? Verse 31 is a quotation, actually from the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve are put together, and God says, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Okay? So Paul's quoting from that. But then Paul doesn't just stop with, here's the Old Testament passage to back it up. He's like, here's what this is. He says in verse 32, this mystery, I'm going to stop there. He says it's a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
What's mysterious about a man and his wife becoming one flesh, a man leaving his father and mother and being joined to his wife and becoming one flesh? Well, the mystery, Paul answers that question for us.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to answer.
Okay.
He says, I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. What Paul says is this was set apart back in Genesis. Marriage was instituted by God even before the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says it was a mystery at the time what it was pointing to. But now that mystery has been revealed because now Paul is talking post-institution of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul's saying now we know that it refers to Christ and the church. Now, why wasn't that revealed right away? Now, that's a dangerous question to say, why didn't God reveal this right away? But we know one reason that they didn't know this right away is because they didn't have the church.
Right.
The church didn't start back in Genesis 1. The church doesn't consist of all believers from all time.
Mm-hmm.
The church doesn't consist of everyone who is going to heaven. The church only started in Acts,
mm-hmm.
at Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it wasn't until after that that Paul understood that, the relationship between a husband and a wife is parallel to, maybe that's the wrong term, but I'll explain what I mean by it. Is an image of, hey, nice job, is an image of the relationship between Christ and his church. Now, before you take this the wrong way, before you take Paul's words the wrong way, that doesn't mean that the husband is sinless like Christ. That's not what Paul's getting at. Look at the rest of the context in 22 through 30 to see what Paul is drawing from this verse. He puts the verse at the end instead of the beginning. But that does mean that there are a lot of parallels and things that are imaged that are similar between the relationship between Christ and his church and the relationship between a husband and a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What does this mean? I have two things that are parallel. Unintentionally, I didn't think about all the parallelism, but this means that marriage, when it's lived out God's way, when it's lived out in accordance with how God instituted it, marriage lived out God's way helps men and women better understand the relationship between Christ and his church.
Mm-hmm.
So a marriage properly lived out, a marriage that is in accordance with what God says a marriage should be, can be used to say, hey, look at this. And it can be a tangible thing that we can show our kids, that we can show other people to say, hey, this right here, this relationship that you've observed between me and my wife,
mm-hmm.
let me use this to help you understand what the relationship between Christ and his church is supposed to be.
So marriage not lived out God's way is harmful to people.
To our understanding.
Yeah. Or to other people as they look at the marriage and say, oh, marriage is supposed to be a picture of Christ in the church? Well, I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a double-edged sword. But then also think about it the other way. The church, when lived out God's way, when it's conducted in accordance with Scripture, helps men and women better understand the relationship between a man and a woman in marriage. So flip it around the other way. In our premarital counseling, we can use passages about how Christ relates to his church, and we could see better, oh, this is how husbands and wives are supposed to relate to one another. So it works both ways. We can use both scriptural passages when talking about both.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to a certain extent.
Right.
Obviously, there are limits to that, because again, that doesn't mean the husband is sinless.
Right.
But that there is one significant takeaway from that that is obvious to many conservative Christians, is that the role of a husband and wife cannot be switched,
mm-hmm.
no more than the role of Christ and the church can be switched.
Mm-hmm.
They're stuck, because that's the way God set them. Stuck is not a bad thing in this context.
Right.
They're set.
There you go.
Yep, set in Scripture. I was going to say set in stone, but set in Scripture. Okay, so that's a little bit of a taste of Ephesians 5, 31 and 32. That's one small passage. Broaden that out to Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. Okay, Paul even sums it up at the end. To sum up, each one of you is to love his wife as himself, and the wife is to respect her husband. You looking at something?
I was trying to see what time it was. I thought it said only 10 minutes.
And No.
What?
We're just about to cross over into 20. Yep, no, we're good. So that's just one tiny passage, but it was one of the passages that was more at the forefront of my mm-hmm. brain, especially when we structured our wedding not around
friends and
yep, this is a time. It wasn't so much. This is a time when friends can get together and hang out. That wasn't the goal of the wedding.
This is when the bride gets to be the
center of attention.
Yeah, the center of attention. It's a bride show.
Yeah, it wasn't really about that either.
Thankfully.
Because I would have enjoyed going to a show about you, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
Instead, the focus of our wedding was on the parallelism, the imaging of Christ and his church throughout our marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the driving emphasis. Are there other emphases that could be correct? Yeah, there could. I think you could have another theme, a biblical theme to your wedding.
It was a good time to honor family as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to focus on there's more riding on this than just, well, we better love one another. If we don't, well, we divorced and that's sin. Well, okay, that's good to know. But also, if we divorce one another, we also mar that image that's supposed to be there of Christ and his church being imaged in marriage. Mm-hmm. There's more, it's more important than just, well, I personally sinned. It's others will misunderstand and it will present a marred picture to other people. Mm-hmm. Of Christ and his relationship with his bride. Mm-hmm. So it was more important than just us. And that's why there was a heavy involvement. We wanted to involve local church and have local church people there, even because of some things that were mentioned in the last thing I'm going to mention here that influenced our thinking, a book called This Momentary Marriage by John Piper. I'll add the same caveats here that I have added so far, that I like the book. Doesn't mean I agree 100% mm-hmm. with everything that's in the book. There are some things in John Piper's theology that I don't agree with, mm-hmm. and there are tangents of that in the book at certain spots. But as a whole, I would still recommend this to someone and say, hey, let's read it, let's chat about it.
Yeah.
It was a helpful book. It drew out, even by the title, which is the only thing I'm going to hit on from this book, that yes, marriage is important. It is. But our relationship with other believers as brothers and sisters in Christ will far outlast a marriage between a man and a woman. Right?
Well, we won't be married in heaven.
Correct.
There's no marriage or giving in...
Yep.
Marriage or giving in marriage.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Yeah, I had it down because I'm actually going to read it.
Oh, is that the verse you have?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, nice. I have a couple of verses here. But the context that I'll give, Luke will actually give. So I'm going to read Luke 20, verses 27 to 35. And this is just a small snippet of Luke's gospel. Luke says this. Some of the Sadducees, who say that there is no resurrection, came up and questioned him. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother has a wife and dies childless, his brother should take the wife and produce offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. Also the second and the third took her. In the same way, all seven died and left no children. Finally, the woman died too. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For all seven had married her. Jesus told them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. All right, you and I know that, right?
Yep.
But Jesus continues on. But those who are counted worthy to take part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. So Jesus, that's not the focus of what he's getting at here, mm-hmm. but that is important to how he addresses, is that in the resurrection, period, all forms of the resurrection, whether you're ended up in hell or whether you end up in heaven, okay? In the resurrection, there is no marriage or giving in marriage. So in heaven, so you and I are believers.
Mm-hmm.
Our local church, by definition, has to be made up of believers.
Mm-hmm.
We will know one another and be brothers and sisters in Christ for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you and I, even, Desiree, will be brother and sister in Christ for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I love to tell people that I was going to marry my sister when we were engaged.
Oh, dear.
And it's true. And it was even more important.
I hope
important.
You qualified that.
I always did explain okay. it, because they'd be like, what? I'd be like, well, sister in Christ. They're like, okay, fine, Daniel. And it was silly. But it's true. And even that truth is going to outlast the truth that we are married.
Because
mm-hmm. our marriage will come to an end, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of us is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll both be transformed in the air.
Yeah.
If we meet Christ in the air. But we're not going to be married in heaven.
Right.
There is no marriage or giving in marriage in heaven. Mm-hmm. So that marriage will come to an end and forever be done.
Mm-hmm.
But our relationship as brother and sister in Christ will last for eternity.
Right.
So yes, marriage is important, but our relationship with other believers, and yes, my wife is a believer, so that relationship is important for that reason as well. The relationship as believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, will far outlast a marriage between a man and a woman. So even that truth that yes, marriage is important, but it's not as lasting. Now, what that means and how that plays out, read the book. But it is a truth that was brought out, that it does play into how we view and how highly we view marriage, mm-hmm. and why we view it that highly. So that's a couple of things that influenced our thinking. Why did I bother sharing those first three things that other people encouraged us and a pastor and his wife encouraged us, friends, situations in our lives influenced our thinking? Because I wanted to draw out a couple of things. One, God can use regular situations in our lives, even situations between two unbelievers, a marriage between two unbelievers, and what happens there to influence how we think about marriage, even for the better. Not necessarily because they'll model it, but because we look at, for example, a marriage of two unbelievers, and we say, ooh, I don't think I'd do it that way. And when that happens, stop and think, well, why wouldn't I do it that way? Yeah. Is it actually wrong to do it that way? The one aspect of their ceremony that you're thinking about. Why? Have a reason for why, and think about, well, what would it look like to properly represent what marriage actually is? And it can even start the ball rolling in your own mind of thinking about, what should this thing actually look like? Now take that outside the scope of marriage. We can even see things that unbelievers do that we're like, oh, I don't think I'd do it that way. Well, stop and think, why? Is there a biblical reason for, well, this is why I would actually do it that way? And if so, great, do it that way now. Mm-hmm. And that can even, God can even use unbelievers, completely pagan circumstances, to help you better understand who he is, what he expects of you, and how you should live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I also brought up the other things that influenced our thinking, because you should be chatting with your pastor,
yeah,
if possible. Older men, older women within your church. If you're a guy, older men. If you're a woman, older women. There can be situations
wiser
for doing
older
the other.
Men and wiser older women.
Yes. Just because they're older doesn't mean they're actually wiser. That's mm-hmm. true. And pay attention to friends within your local church, even your own contemporaries. Don't exclude yourself to only hang out with your own contemporary people.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're 17 years old, don't only hang out with 17-year-olds. That's probably not wise. And even Proverbs would encourage you that that's not keeping in step with wisdom. That's keeping in step with folly.
Yeah.
But talking to your peers can be helpful.
Yeah.
And it can positively influence your understanding of a thing. All right. I think that's about all I had. Hopefully that was somewhat more exciting than talking about our color scheme for our wedding or what songs we sang, although those were fun. But that was a kind of a framework on how we thought about a thing, how we came to that understanding of the thing, and some things that even influenced our thinking on marriage, and maybe mm-hmm. can influence yours as well. Whether you're unmarried, it's still important to think about marriage. Whether you're never going to get married, it's still important to understand marriage, because there'll be people within your local church who are married. Or whether you're an old married person and you need to think about marriage again, because if you're married, you probably still need to think about marriage.
Yeah.
All right. That's what we're learning, what we've learned. What's last?
What we're reading.
Which would be?
Well, we just started Magician's Nephew.
Mm-hmm.
Which also means we finished Horse and His Boy.
Yep. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I liked him. I don't know which one is my least or most favorite yet. I'll probably wait till the end and we can rank them and do a recap of the whole series.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked finishing it. It was a pretty good ending. There was a plot twist that I did not see coming, but Desiree nailed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean,
I didn't nail it until parts of it had already been slightly explained.
But it would have been easier to pick up on earlier if I'd have been actually thinking about it, but didn't. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was exciting. And it was helpful and provocative.
Yeah.
In even shaping, not necessarily shaping, but encouraging further thought about how God interacts with his people.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. Starting Magician's Nephew, just finished chapter 1, and hopefully we'll keep plugging away through that. What else?
I actually started before you reading mm-hmm. The Art of Neighboring,
yep.
And I really enjoy it.
Like, past the front cover?
Yeah, like
past
I'm
the prologue?
At like chapter 3 or 4.
Wow. Yeah, I'm at the end of chapter 1 as well. I'm into chapter 2.
Yeah. But one of the authors, it's written by two guys.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, I follow his way of writing better than the other one. But
yeah.
Overall, I really enjoy it. Kind of don't enjoy it by how it pricks my conscience. Mm. But
but it's been encouraging as well to, hey, here's some things that you can do that will be helpful, and here's why they're helpful, and here's how you can think about doing those things.
I think part of the reason that I'm enjoying reading through it is knowing that we're moving soon, and that's a really easy way to start interacting with your neighbors
yeah.
rather than reading this book after you've lived somewhere for
mm-hmm.
15 years and it could be really awkward.
That'd be so hard.
It would be.
Yeah. I'm glad that this came along relatively early within our, well, not within our life, because I'm like 20, how old am I? 23? I think I'm 23.
If anybody's
yeah.
listening to this and they're like 65 or older,
yeah.
they're like, that's way early. You're
well, but that's 23 years when I could have been practicing this.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Because I've always had a neighbor.
Yeah. My family did really well with
mm-hmm.
neighbors. They could have filled out all the slots.
Yeah.
The 3 slots.
I don't think I've gotten there.
Was it 4? 3 or 4? Yeah, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you haven't gotten there
yet. Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet. Maybe we'll get back to you on that.
It's like a little quiz on how well you know your neighbors.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that one would be a fun one to do a book review of together. Because you and I are both reading it through together, and mm-hmm. that's a little bit more in your wheelhouse
yeah.
of books you might tend to pick up on your own anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've started that. We'll keep working through that. I think that's all we're reading for this week, too. I mean, I've read smaller articles, but nothing else significant that I've started mm-hmm. plugging away at yet.
Well, I mean, still plugging away at Spanish. That's kind of reading.
Yeah, that's true. Learning to read, learning to interact with others.
Trying to incorporate more of the words in our daily living.
Yeah, I'm worried Sophia's going to learn Spanish, not English.
Maybe we'll have Spanish neighbors.
That'd be so hard. I'd have to study really hard.
Yeah, you'd have to pay attention, not just try to get to the next league before me.
Hey, we're in the same league.
We are for now.
Yeah, it's only because you didn't progress.
Yeah.
That's okay. You didn't go in the demolition zone.
The demotion zone.
Yeah, there's like a promotion zone, a stay the same zone, and a demotion zone.
Based on how much you learn.
Yeah, but I misread it and thought it said the demolition zone. I'm like, wow, that's harsh. You don't do enough. You just get demolished down to the last league. But it actually wasn't that bad. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Thanks for listening. Hopefully it was helpful, and hopefully it can help you to further think about thinking about things. I think I actually worded that correctly. All right. Well, until next time, keep serving or start serving within your local church. Bye.
Bye.